There is coming a day when God will not be silent, and every imagination of our heart will be exposed before Him.
Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
What we are looking at in this passage today in Psalm 50 is a very sneaky, seductive form of idolatry. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have to do is we have to treat God's words carefully and not casually. We won't turn there this morning, but you might want to write down Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 33. In Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 33, you see a very clear illustration of what happens when people are sitting, listening to a message just like you are this very moment. And it tells you in that passage that while some are sitting listening to the very words that come forth from the Lord, they are looking for entertainment rather than enlistment into God's service. Occasionally, I will have someone say to me, "You have a very fine speaking voice." May I just be honest with you? I would rather have a scratchy, stammering human voice that people would not use for entertainment if it meant that God's people would use God's words for enlistment into His service. Because verses 30 through 33 is showing us that even preaching, you see, it's impossible. It is possible. Read Ezekiel 33, 30 through 33. You'll see it. That people thought of even preaching as just entertainment. But he concludes by saying, "But they will know that there is a prophet in Israel." I'd like to read to you a portion of some writing I found by Michael Horton on this very issue. "It is but a small step from human-centered religion to self-centered living. If God is there for me, if I, as pastor, believe that I must conduct worship in a way that treats each person as though he or she were the main attraction on Sunday morning, and if the theology I teach gives them the impression that God exists for their happiness and pleasure, it is inevitable that the people present in the auditorium on Sunday will worship themselves, not God, on Monday. When we come to church in order to get something rather than to give something, namely praise, thanksgiving, fellowship, and service, and when we come as members of an audience expecting to passively experience the events of the service rather than actively participate in them as members of the congregation, what is going to challenge us?" He's asking, what is going to challenge us to get beyond that sort of worldly thinking on Monday morning? Listen to this very carefully. Worship has the power to change us as no other activity. It trains not only our minds, but also our hearts and bodies. Purely cerebral services, in which lectures rather than sermons are offered, cannot bring about the transformation of the total person that worship provides. It calls for a response that goes beyond taking notes and nodding our heads. Many insightful challenges have been made to believers to get beyond Sunday religion and to view God as a daily reality. The problem, I hear it often said, is that we have the right doctrine, but we just aren't living up to it. We're orthodox, but we don't live it, or so the common perception goes. I would like to suggest, rather, that we are living up to our theology, or rather, down to it. In other words, we thought God was just like us. We cannot be expected to put God at the center of our existence if He is not at the center of our theological system. If God and humans must share the stage in salvation, and if God must provide the fish and the loaves to hold the attention of his demanding consumers, it is inevitable that those who accept such orientation will think of themselves first at home, on the job, and in the neighborhood. Jeremiah prophesied to a nation that thought everything was going well. The sanctuary was looked after. The people were religious and active in spiritual services. Tithes and offerings were pouring in. Then came along Jeremiah telling them that their prophets were false shepherds, filling them with false hopes and speaking visions from their own minds rather than from the mouth of the Lord. Far from rebuking those who despised God, they gave false assurance, saying, "The Lord says you will have peace," which sounds hauntingly similar to those today who are telling unbelievers positive things in order to attract them. Is it acceptable to offend God in order to please men? Further, God declares, "I have heard what the prophets say about those who prophesy lies in my name. They say, 'I had a dream, I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy delusions of their own minds?" The people were commanded to cease their reckless claims to have heard words from the Lord, because every man's own heart became his oracle or burden, and so you distort the words of the living God and the Lord God Almighty, our Lord. You see what he's saying here? He's saying we've substituted our words for God's words, our thoughts for God's thoughts. Not only are the false gods worthless, but false religion and false worship of the true God are vain too. He makes this application. False worship begins on Sunday when we worship ourselves through entertainment instead of praise, flattery instead of confrontation, the wisdom of the preacher rather than the wisdom of God, and continues through the week as we look out for old number one. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if you and I will use God's Word to carefully examine ourselves, then here's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out that we are casting God's words behind us. That we hear God's words, but we have not begun really to take them to ourselves and to assimilate them and to use them. And this is an indication of idolatry in our own hearts. Look at verse 18. He said, "When you saw a thief, then you consented with him." Here's an indication of idolatry. You join with thieves. You don't mind shady dealings for profit. When somebody comes to you and says, "Listen, there's a way to make money here as long as you're willing to look the other way," and you say, "Okay," that's idolatry. That's an indication of the idolatry of your heart. You steal from others when you don't repay debts. You tell someone, "I'd like to borrow this money from you. I am planning to repay this money to you with interest," and then you say, "But I'm not paying you." That's idolatry. That's an idolatry of thievery. You steal from God by refusing to give to him. When you will not give to the Lord, you are worshiping the idol that is yourself. And why did you do this? Because you thought God was just like you. He says in verse 18, "You have been a partaker with adulterers. Do you enjoy being with adulterers? For instance, you love to watch sexually immoral television programs. You can't wait to get on the internet to see porn. You can't wait to get away for a secret affair." Ladies and gentlemen, this is an indication of idolatry, and that's the way the Bible refers to it. I well remember as a very young man working in a sound room in a church, and as the service was ongoing, the ushers were out in the foyer, and a young lady came in, and honestly, she was dressed completely in a modest fashion. She had on a very nice suit that would be very appropriate, but there was something about the way she carried herself. There was something about the way that she walked that drew the attention of men all around. And I still remember that the man who at the time was one of the ushers and one of the head ushers, I'll never forget that he could not take his eyes off this woman. And as she walked in the door, as with that kind of lilting step she walked in the door, even after he closed the door, he just looked through the window. And I remember him making a statement, and I thought to myself, "Buddy, you better watch your mind. You had better be extremely careful about the way you're thinking right now." It was then no surprise at all 4 months later when they were both placed under church discipline for the affair that began. You see, my friends, this is where we have to confront it. We have to confront it in our hearts. And here is part of the problem. In fact, here is our most powerful ally in this process, if we will consider it. If we think that God is just like us, in other words, we are the measure. Man is the measure. It doesn't bother me, so I'm absolutely sure it doesn't bother God. That's idolatry. And the Lord says, here's the problem. You thought I was just like you. Look at verses 19 and 20. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frame deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. He's pointing out here that you use words to do evil and deceive others and slander others. You use your words to tempt God's people, to trip them up. You enjoy the gossip sessions with other women. You don't mind leaving the wrong impression in order to cut someone else down. That's idolatry. And it's idolatry because you think that God is just like you, and He's not, folks. He's not like you. He's not like me. And this is what this passage is helping us to do. As you carefully think about verse 21, we've noticed what these things refers to. We've understood what he's talking about here as far as the list that's presented in verses 16 and onward. We treat God's word casually. We really enter in with thieves, consent with adulterers. We watch adultery. Doesn't really seem to bother us that much. We slander with our tongues. The Lord says, these things you have done. Now watch this. And I kept silence. Folks, you must see this morning, and you must understand what he's saying here. Perhaps you were waiting for some tremendous, cataclysmic disaster, some explosion when you did all these things. But you need to understand, here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, I kept silence. I didn't say anything. I kept silence. You say, does God do that? Yes. In fact, here is one of the symptoms, if you'll stop and think about it. We've learned so far that the first symptom is that, verse 21, you will excuse your wicked actions because you think that God is just like you. And secondly, in verse 21, you will think that God isn't paying attention. Why? Because you think that God is just like you. In other words, when you think that God is just like you, you will, excuse your wicked actions as not really a big deal. And you will say, well, God didn't bring some major catastrophe into my life, and so perhaps it wasn't that big of a deal after all. No, look what he says in verse 21. He says, and I kept silence. I kept silence. Would you reference with me, by the way, verse 3 earlier in the text? Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. What it's referring to in verse 3 is the day of judgment. There is coming a day when God will not be silent. Every imagination of our heart will be exposed before Him.
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.